But for now, let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans for our scripture reading today. Romans, and I am going to go to chapter 1, and I am going to read verses 18 through 23. It is a place where we have been many times before, and we're going to revisit that because that's just the thing to do on a day like today. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. If you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning as I read these six verses. I read out of an NASB translation Bible, and God's word says this: For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. We'll stop there and let's go to God with a word of prayer. Father, I pray for this message that I'm about to speak. I pray, Lord, that I will honor and glorify you and your word, and I will speak the words that you want me to say here this morning. And may your scripture, may these six verses fall on all of our ears and all of our hearts and minds here today, Lord. We give you the praise, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I have titled today's message, Suppress the Truth, words right out of the text that we just read. 2 weeks ago, I delivered a message from Isaiah chapter 5 about how God had spoken through Isaiah, and he pronounced four woes on the nation of Israel. Actually, he pronounces six woes in that chapter. I only covered four of them. But the woe that I focused on was this one from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We talked about substitution 2 weeks ago. We see the same thing in America today. We have become a substitute society. We have substituted good for evil and evil for good. Last week we talked about when God reaches his breaking point. That time when God says, you know what? Enough is enough. And he unleashes his discipline and consequences on those who do evil. And we concluded three things from last week. Number one, God's judgments are always right. Number two, the timing of the discipline he invokes is always perfect. And number three, he can discipline an individual such as Uzzah, we talked about him, a family, King David, the sword will never leave his house, a city, Sodom, we did not talk about that, but we all know that story of Sodom, or a nation like Israel, or mankind, the whole population. There was a global flood. Only eight people survived that. Since America has become a substitute society, when will God reach his breaking point with our nation and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Or has he already reached that point? Today I want to put these two thoughts together, one of a substitute society and one where he reaches his breaking point with today's text of suppressing the truth. Our text tells us that men and women suppress the truth. What does it mean to suppress something? Well, Webster defines suppress as this: to restrain from a usual course or action, to exclude from consciousness. That's how Webster defines it, and actually those are pretty good definitions. So what we're going to do here this morning is we're going to go through these six verses that I read here earlier, and I'm going to ask six questions and give six answers from that text. So let's look at the six questions I want to ask here this morning, and these will be in a rather logical progression. Question number one, if the Bible says that men suppress, what are they suppressing? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. They are suppressing what? The truth. That men suppress the truth. Okay? Question number two, this one's a simple one too. How do men suppress the truth? In their what? In their unrighteousness. Okay? Their unrighteousness. Their unrighteous actions and words prove that they suppress, which means what? What does suppress mean? Well, suppress means to exclude from consciousness, that they suppress the truth. In other words, their actions and their words support what they really believe and what's in their heart. And Jesus even says that. So we've answered the first two questions, and we're getting through this rather quickly. Let's ask the next one. The question number three, should men, and of course when I say men, I mean men and women, should men know the truth? And the answer to that is yes, because our scripture tells us this, because God made it evident to them, and they are without excuse for not knowing the truth. Question number four, we're getting through these. How did God make the truth known to men? Next answer. Through nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. Folks, there is no reason on the face of this earth to look at creation and not know that there is a God. Amen? You look at what's made out there. You look at the universe. You look at the stars. You look at the seas. And you say, this all happened by chance? Well, that's what they want to shove down our throats. But we know different. We serve a creator God. There is no excuse, God says, for not pursuing the truth of what he has revealed to us. Question number five. Why do men suppress the truth? It says this, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What kind of hearts did they have? Foolish hearts. Their foolish hearts have become darkened. And then question number six. This is going by, how has man responded? Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. They have exchanged the glory of God for something or someone else. Remember, I've told you this before. Everybody worships something. Everybody worships something. They do. I'm going to tell you something I bet you already know, or maybe you don't. Beech Grove, the unsaved people out there, people who do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they hate God. Okay? It's not that they're sitting on the fence. Oh, I think I like it. Oh, maybe I don't. They hate God. The Bible tells us that they hate God. People suppress the truth because people don't want the truth. Because people can't stand the truth. And people want to eliminate the truth. And when I say people, I'm talking about the unsaved out there. And the unsaved people out there, believe it or not, They do not like people like us because we love the truth. And there's a war going on out there, and we are, believe it or not, we are the good guys. We are. We're the good guys. We're on God's team. But since the world suppresses the truth, we are now the bad guys, at least in their eyes. So let's identify what we see here in our 21st century American culture and how the truth has been suppressed. How America has exchanged the true God for the image that it would rather have. Okay? You ready? Here it comes. Our moral standards are in the toilet. Amen. The moral standards of the United States of America are in the toilet. Abortions are at a rate of about 1 million per year. But somehow, black and blue and Asian and Hispanic and illegal alien and Native American lives matter. On the list of lives that don't matter are the unborn, which means the most unsafe place to be in America today is inside a mother's womb. Governor Northam, the governor of Virginia, in supporting late-term abortion, says this, and I quote, "The infant would be delivered, kept comfortable, and then terminated," end quote. And this man is a doctor. And I thought doctors took a Hippocratic oath, which says to preserve life at all cost. Is God at his breaking point for America's stand on human life and how it has suppressed the truth about human life? How about this? Men are changing into women, and women are changing into men. It's no longer about the gender in which we were born, but about how we need to identify ourselves. Radical groups want to become androgynous, which means you wipe out all gender roles. But these same groups who want to become androgynous when it comes to gender insist that a woman be in the White House. Unless you're Sarah Sanders, which means all bets are off. The people who preach tolerance are the least tolerant. It's okay to have your own view on issues, they say, just as long as you agree with them. Christians are hated by the LGBTQ movement. But us Christians, we're the ones who are branded as the haters. Is God at his breaking point for America's stand on gender and sexual behavior and how this country has suppressed the truth? I said the truth will do three things, and these are listed in your bulletin. It'll do three things. One, the truth will divide. Two, it will set you free. And three, it will hold a person accountable. Let's talk about number three today. The truth will hold a person accountable. Today in America, people don't want to be held accountable for anything. That's why they can riot and break into businesses and set places on fire and steal merchandise, because these people know there is no longer any consequences for their evil actions. And if they get caught, It's always somebody else's fault. They are the victims. So in an effort to not upset or offend anybody, let's just defund our police force. Because chances are that they will overstep their authority and do harm to these people who are rioting. Good gracious! Is God at his breaking point for America's stand on government authority? Is God at his breaking point for both the misuse of that authority and the total disregard of it? The United States was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And I believe there was a time in the United States when we were doing a fairly good job of following Judeo-Christian principles. I also believe that while we were following these Judeo-Christian principles, God was blessing America. Here's a quote from George Washington from back in the late 1700s. "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor." George Washington said that. There was a time when our governing authorities had integrity. There was a time when parents were concerned more for their children than they were for themselves. And there was a time when people followed their conscience. And there was a time when churches were upholding the truth. And don't get me started on that one. That's a sermon for later on. And I would say that the United States of America was doing a fairly good job of doing all these good things, probably up until the year 1950 or so, post-World War II. To me, that's when America started sliding into the mess that we're in today. Around 1950, Americans gradually quit following their conscience. Around 1950, American parents gradually took the focus off the family and put it on themselves. Around 1950, American governing authorities gradually started being self-serving instead of serving the people who voted them into office. Around 1950, American churches gradually became more like the culture, became more like the world, than coming out and being separate from the world. So I ask, what does God think of 2020 America? 2020 America wants God out of our homes. We want God out of our schools. We want God out of our government. We want God out of our businesses. We want him removed from the Pledge of Allegiance. We want him removed off of our money and currency. And there's still a ton of churches, they don't want him in their church either. And 2020 America wants people like you and I who follow God to throw away this antiquated book right here and just start thinking just like them, because God's ways just don't work in our society anymore. What is America's God, little g? What is America's God today? I'll tell you who it's not. It's not the God that we serve. It's not. The God that America wants to serve today are jobs and our possessions and our houses and our cars and our drugs and our internet and certainly ourselves. And those are the images of corruptible man, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures that Paul is referring to. So I ask, if you were God, would you be angry? Would you be angry at what you see and what you hear? May I remind you that God terminated the life of Uzzah for just touching the ark. I assure you, God has a plan for America. And the ungodly actions of the people in this country who suppress the truth will make sure that God's plan will happen. Just like ungodly men nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. So, what is and what will God's response be to America? Let's get back to verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God. It's coming, folks. It's coming. The same holy God is in charge now that was in charge back in Genesis chapter 7 when there was a global flood. The same God is in charge now as back in Genesis 19 when the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were burned with fire and brimstone. The same God is in charge now as was in charge back when the Israelites were exiled to foreign lands back in 2 Kings 17 and 24. The same God is in charge now who was in charge when the lives of Ananias and Sapphira were terminated in Acts chapter 5 for lying to the Holy Spirit. And it will be, my friends, the same God who will bring this entire creation to an end someday, and he'll create a new heaven and a new earth. If America continues on this path of suppressing the truth, the wrath of God will be inescapable. And folks, I see the writing on the wall, and I bet you do too. God says this in Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. A man will reap what he sows. Let me put that in a different phrase. America will reap what America is sowing. And folks, this is not the time for preachers to be preaching about the love of God. Not a time for preachers to be seeking about to preach to their congregations, oh, you need to seek worldly happiness, or naming and claiming your prosperous destiny, or preaching the social gospel, which isn't even a gospel at all. This is the time congregations need to hear a whole lot of fire and brimstone, my friends. They do. This is the time that preachers need to be telling their congregations that we all need to be on our knees in repentance. We need to be confessing our sins to the Lord, and we need to be acting more like Jesus and his word than acting like fools and following the world and suppressing the truth. Romans 1:18 starts off by saying, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. What kind of wrath might we be expecting? I'm glad you asked that, because that's next Sunday's message. So come on back. We'll talk a little bit about the wrath of God.